Good afternoon. Hi. Everyone enjoying TechEd so far? Yeah? Good day? Long day? I guess this is the longest day of the three and a half day conference so far, so I don't blame you guys if you fall asleep. My name's Farhan Sattar. I work for Datacom here in Auckland. I'm originally from the UK. I'm actually from a town called Bradford. Does anybody know what Bradford's famous for? Curry. So I had some curry. My mum sent some curry over to give out this session. Unfortunately, biosecurity ate it, so it's not here. But we've got this laptop to give away, so we're all good. I think you prefer the laptop over the curry. So what will I be covering in this session? Deploying of Windows Server 2012 on bare metal, server core, minimal server, and some more things around that. So I'll cover around what's new in the Windows deployment services, what's new in the Windows installation options, how that links in with Windows Server interface, and how you can use features on demand to minimize your disk space usage. So the high touch image based setup, when you run your CD or run the setup, is exactly the same as it was in Windows Server 2008 R2. There's a few little tweaks here and there in terms of making it quicker and more efficient, but actually it's the same process. And all the scripts that you had with Windows 2008 R2 will work with 2012 as well, so it's really good from that respect. The other way to deploy Server 2012 even, is to use the MDT 2012. I hope some of you guys got to see Michael Niehaus earlier to do his MDT sessions, and I hope you picked up all the information from there. But in reality, what you're doing with this is setting up the environment for MDT, curating a reference computer, deploying Windows Server 2012, capturing the image for that, configuring MDT to deploy that, and then you deploy the captured image to the servers. Very, very efficient. Now, if you link those two, the MDT together with the System Center, you'll find that you're able to do a zero-touch based installation. So it's really, really useful. MDT is very useful in this environment to be able to do that sort of thing. But what else have we got to deploy Server 2012? Well, we can use Windows Deployment Services. Now, Windows Deployment Services has been around since 2003 R2, so that's circa 2006. It's proven, it's used internally at Microsoft, it's used by customers. You can deploy 300 machines at a time with it. Now, there are customers out there deploying 1,000 machines on a single WDS server. So it is really scalable, very flexible, and easy to use. And I'll go through some of the changes in this version of Windows Deployment Service. So the Windows Deployment Service starts off with a stage of setting up, planning, and managing and diagnosing. And what has changed in that? Let's have a look. So the first major changes that you no longer require Active Directory for Windows Deployment Services. Is that good for anyone? Yeah? So it's absolutely decoupled from Windows Active Directory, and you can just use a local data store to deploy Windows Deployment Services. And it works with all your existing management tools and your MMC console. The next interesting thing is within the MMC console, there's been some improvements. Device management is now available in the MMC. You can do client unattended files with that. There's been some interesting changes on the server properties. The max TFT block size is now visible in the MMC console, and so is the UDP port policy. Before, these were hidden within the registry, so now you can actually see these. UDP port policies was set to dynamic. You can actually set this now to static if you want to within the GUI infrastructure. You can also set up the image priority. Now, if you guys have used WDS, you'll have found what happens is that when you run this up, your images came up in terms of the architecture and the name of the file. You can now actually set priorities up, so you can actually list it in an order that's useful for the administrator or the end user to be able to select the right image in the way you want. And there's now something called the expected deployments result wizard. This is like your PowerShell what if. So in the way you can do a PowerShell what if, you can do the same thing before you install your server and check what kind of result you're gonna get by running the expected deployment results wizard. And that's available both in the MMC and the command line. Another interesting development within WDS is that you can now add metadata to your images, to your drivers, and your device groups. This allows you to do boot level and image level filtering. So if you want to do some clever things during the installation, you can actually link it together. So when you're doing your WDS, it can go off and do a query, figure out where this machine requires this driver. If it does, it will install it. If it doesn't, you can skip it. So there's really, really interesting things there. The other interesting thing they've added into WDS and Server 2012 is ETW-based logs. You've got support for slash trace parameter. Your old error logs are still there. And there's now increased performance counters. There was about 19 performance counters in the earlier versions. Now there's 50 performance counters that you can use to see what's sitting inside WDS. So the next stage of the WDS process is to do the boot with Pixie. And we'll go through some of the additional features that have been brought into that. So UEFI 2.1 support has been included. It supports x86 architecture. That's going to be really good for your server. No? Well, since Server 2012 is only 64-bit, it's not going to be really useful. But on the client side, Windows 8 and x86 will be brilliant if you want to do that. Also, what they've done is separate out your BIOS and UEFI settings within the WDS console and added better support for IPv6. It does require a stateful DHCP server and a couple of other things, but you can go through and use DHCP V6 all the way through your WDS process. You can do a full IPv6 deployment. So once you're in there, the next stage of the WDS deployment process is the actual transfer of the boot and OS loader. So there's been some interesting enhancements here. They've actually changed a few things, which means that the performance has gone from being 8 megs a second up to 20 to 30 megs a second. The UDP allocation ports have been changed, so it actually uses 16 ports by default. So there's a shared client buffer. This is really interesting. What happens is that if client one is downloading the file, and another client comes along and downloads the same file, instead of allocating another buffer to it, WDS will allocate the same buffer and let you download from the same buffer. So you've got an increased scalability option there. So you'll see this when you deploy with WDS, rather than what limitations we talked about earlier, you'll see an increased scale. So once it's run the WDS, it can start applying from the WinPE the image itself. And there's some significant improvements there. So one of the really interesting improvements, I think, is the in-place WIM multicast apply. Bit of a mouthful. But what it means is that in the old days, your WIM image had to come all the way down before it would start applying it across to the disk. But now what happens is that as soon as there's enough of it to do that, it will actually start applying the image onto the disk. The caveat is you need 2 gigabytes of memory in your server, which these days shouldn't be a big issue. Thank you. It wasn't you guys. So another improvement that's been made is the smaller block size. What happened previously was that Ethernet packet, the block size exceeded an Ethernet packet, so you would get fragmentation in the Ethernet packet. You'd wait for the server to time out, the server would time out, the client would time out, and you'd end up with transfers failing. So what they've done is now each packet is the length of an Ethernet packet, and so you don't get any fragmentation. It means that you get faster deployments on the gigabit networks. Also, there's another new feature called VHDX Apply. So this is only available if you use a VHDX file, not VHD. And what it allows you to do is do sector-based partitioning. So we can actually deploy it sector by sector rather than where the WIM you had to deploy by files. And allows you to do multi-partition deployments of your OS. One thing to note, though, is that WDS cannot produce your VHDX files. You have to actually use a different tool. So go back and use your MDT to do that. So Windows Server 2012 deployment options. Server Core now is the default deployment option. If you've tried to install Server 2012, how many of you have installed Server 2012 recently? You all seen that it's defaulted now to Server Core? So if you just do a next, 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 all of a sudden you log in and you go, where's my GUI? It's just the command prompt. that's the default manifestation now. The interesting thing is that PowerShell now has over 2,400 commandlets in the RTM version, and more roles and features can be used within the Server Core. So you can actually use Active Directory certificate services, and there's a few more services within that, which I'll cover later. So the other option, as you can see there, is a server with a full GUI. That's the equivalent of a full server in Windows 2008 R2. That's there for providing backward compatibility. So if you do have applications that can't cope with being on a server core and the minimal server interface that we'll talk about later, you can use the full server. So what are the configuration levels in Server 2012? So as I said earlier, we've got the full server, which is the full modern UI-style GUI shell. You can also install the desktop experience on there if you want to run some modern UI apps. And then we've got this new thing called the minimal server interface. Anyone played with this yet? I know you would have. this is where you can actually install Server 2012 without Internet Explorer in the files, and it allows you to have the MMC server manager and a few controllers, and we'll go into the details of that. Now, this is the most important thing, I think, in the whole slides that I'm doing. You can actually switch between Server Core, minimal server interface, and server with a GUI without having to reinstall. You can actually do this within the add features, or you can do it within PowerShell. No one excited about that? No more reinstall the core, no more reinstall the Server 20. So you can jump between the versions all at once. It does, yes. Server core to wherever there's a GUI change, yes, there is a reboot. Yeah, because you're putting a bigger payload on, and it's got to bring the GUI interface up. So yes, you do require a reboot if you want to do that. I'll cover that later in the slides. So yes, I'll come to that. The question was, do you still need the installation disk to change between the versions? And I'll cover that in the slides going forward. So, transition between server core and server, you need the server management tools. You can actually do it remotely. So if you've got a server manager, which I'll show you later, on a different server, you can actually go in, select the server, and remove the GUI from there. So the command to go from full server to server core, it's a PowerShell command, uninstall Windows feature, server GUI management infrastructure, or infras, it's there, and just restart, and that will actually bring you from a full server down to a server core. It does take a while. It is taking off about 4 gigs worth of storage when you're going from full server down to server core. Single rebit. Server core to full, again, rather than uninstall, you install the Windows feature. Now, there is 2 features to install. You've got to install the management infrastructure and the server GUI shell, and that will take you back up to a server core, to full server. So why don't we do a demo? So here I have my server to manage with. I'm going to go into here and go to remove roles and features. Server selection, select my GUI server, features, user interface, infrastructure. See, when I remove that, it also wants to remove the server graphical shell and the Windows PowerShell ISE, so it knows all the interdependencies and automatically selects them for me. So let's go ahead and remove these. So just to prove to you that this is my server with a GUI, that's the one that we're talking about here. Just bring up, anyone see that all right? Screen resolution's gone a bit wonky, so. Task manager there, and remove. And in a few seconds, we should see this server start to remove. It's always exciting when you try and run a demo. Just want to prove it does actually start off, so. It worked in the rehearsal, so I can be sure of that. So. When you're going from server GUI to full server, it leaves the files there. So yeah, it does leave the files there. If you've done Windows updates to it, it will leave the Windows updates there as well. So, yep, so it started off there. And you see the Windows installer module going like crazy and uninstalling it. Now, it does take about 20 minutes, so we're not going to stand here for 20 minutes waiting for it to do that. And we'll use the powers of snapshotting to jump ahead. So this is it coming back up after it's rebooted. After it's uninstalled the server GUI, it's coming back up. The hardest part, I've got to remember what the password is. First time lucky. So, let's prove that this actually is running server call. Start. Takes a few seconds for it to decide it's warmed up. Okay. So if I go here and try and install the WDS Windows feature, so install Windows feature WDS and do a what if. So what I'm expecting it to say is that you don't have the graphical shell and it won't let me install. Don't worry, I'm writing a business case for a manager to get me a new laptop with an SSD, so it should be faster next year. So. The question was that if you've had a corruption on your hard drive, would it with an SSD, would it been fixed in Windows Client 8, I'm presuming? I don't know. I think it's like any hard disk. If the actual disk is filled, whether it's SSD, if it's a spindle disk, it's going to.
Well,
they've got a limited life. That's what they are. They're little lights, and they turn off and on, and eventually they fuse like a bulb. So not much we can do there. So yeah, here we go. So it will require, as you can see here, it's saying it needs the graphical management tools and infrastructure to actually install that. If we go back here to our normal server, go here to manage. If I try and add a role to the same server again, service again, say prompting that it wants to install the graphical management tools and infrastructure. And say if I try the fax service, that has some other dependencies. It needs the print server and needs also the server graphical shell. So that indicates that if I do want to go install fax service, it does need a full GUI. It won't install on a minimal server interface. Okay, so let me go back to here and get this thing reinstalling back. So, minimal server interface. So what is minimal server interface? It's a server without a GUI, but actually it's just without Internet Explorer and Windows Explorer. It provides all the benefits of Server Core. The difference in the Windows GUI and minimal server interface is about 300 megs. That's the disk space reduction you get. So there's not a lot of disk space reduction, but you are getting the benefits of having to do less patching. So some of those benefits of Windows Core, Server Core, of the patching cycles and things, you're getting that with the lack of Internet Explorer, the lack of Internet Explorer, and a few other bits and bats. So, and it gives you the ability for developers and administrators to shift towards running headless servers. So if you've got applications out there that currently work in the full GUI, you can go down to a minimal server interface, see the result of what's happening, and then move down further once the issues have been resolved. So how do you convert to and from a server graphical shell? Well, again, you can use the server manager, or you can use the uninstall server graphical shell using the PowerShell tools. Run the opposite one to install. You can also go from Server Core up to minimal server interface if you want to. So there are limitations of the minimal server interface. The common dialog box is functioning, so a lot of your control panel icons will work, except networking, because that has some hookings with Internet Explorer, so it won't work. Things that are dependent on shell namespaces, they won't work. Internet Explorer is not available with server graphical interface. Links won't work, help won't work. Applications that rely on Internet Explorer, so there are things that when you install the application, you run the setup, it comes to the end, it wants to open into Explorer to send you to their marketing website. Those won't work on minimal server interface. So you need to be careful of those when you're testing your applications. Of course, some file associations and protocol handlers won't work. HTTP won't work, no Internet Explorer. Your help files won't work as well. And there are some DLLs that also get uninstalled when you go from full GUI down to minimal server interface. There is a good tool available called Dependency Walker, which will allow you to run through the dependencies. It's a freeware tool. And you can also use the tool out of the Windows SDK to test your applications. Very important. Test your applications on minimal server interface. It's the way Microsoft are moving, as far as we can see. So make sure all your applications are going to be able to go towards that infrastructure. So how do we detect? Yes. No, that's the whole point. You've gone to a minimal server interface. It's taken those functions out for the purpose of being able to run that tighter configuration. So no, you can't. If you want to run Internet Explorer and you need Internet Explorer, then run the full GUI. Otherwise, you need to really run the minimal server interface. So how do you detect the state of a graphical server? There's a registered configuration, go down into there. If it's set to server core, it's just one. If there's a server GUI management, so it's set to one as well. That means you're running a minimal server interface. And if you've got the server GUI shell set in there as well, it means you've got the full GUI. So that's where you can see the differences between that within that registry key. There's also a way to do a WMI query against that if you've got GPOs that you want to do certain things with. So if you've got something you want to just only apply to a server core server or a minimal server interface, those are the IDs that you need to look up, and you can use those to do your installations. And this is just a brief summary. I don't expect any of you guys to take all this in at the moment, but there's a brief summary of all the differences between the different interfaces, and the slides will be available for you to go through that. So, another demo. This one's still installing, so we'll let that one go. I was hoping that this would be complete by now, but it doesn't look like it is, so I'm going to have to... Yes. So the question is that if there's applications running on minimal server interface, will they run on core? Test is the best answer there. Yes, they should, but if there are things that different in your application, it's better to test it and make sure. Didn't quite hear that, sorry. He's in the room, so we can all petition him later. Right, so. This is not going to where I want it to go. It's a good job we have snapshots, isn't it? I haven't tried. anybody tried that? No? So here we are back on my management server that I'm using here today. Go back to remove roles. GUI. sure this thing is up. I definitely didn't pray to the demo girls today. Okay, what's the way this time? So, we've gone back to the server that was my full GUI server, and we're going to go down and down into a minimal server interface. So, this management server that I'm running is running minimal server interface. If I go here and try and use help, it won't let you run the help. There's no taskbar. Yes, yeah. Not going very fast today, is it? I know, you all want to go to Tech Fest, but you're going to have to wait till I'm done. You all want the laptop. So. So, if we go down to local machine. So, as we can see here, it's got the server GUI management, the server core all set to 1, which indicates this is running minimal server interface. So the next thing I'd like to talk about is reducing this footprint. In Windows 2008 R2 and 2008, all the roles and features were copied to the Windows side-by-side store. That's in the Windows Win SXS store. I'm going to say Windows side-by-side because SAX sounds too complicated to say. and I'll probably end up saying something that I don't want to say. And it's using all this disk space that's never going to be used. I mean, if you've got a front-end web server, it's never going to use the Active Directory role. So what Windows Server 2012 has introduced is something called Features on Demand. It allows you to actually remove these roles, unneeded roles and features completely. And the files are actually removed from the side-by-side folder and reduce the VHD footprint. Very important now with virtualized machines, there's no point in just using disk for the sake of it's spinning. I mean, save the disk, use it somewhere else. There's a really good Techno article you can look at that explains how that works. Sorry, what was that? Yes, yes, you can. Yeah, I'll cover that in a second. So if you install Server Core from running just the next installation, you'll find that the actual files are not there. You actually do need to provide it media for it to put those back in. But you'll find what you find with the Server Core is when you install it using next, you'll, if you go into it in PowerShell or in DSM it'll come up with disabled with payload removed. In PowerShell it'll show you as it's a removed feature, so the functionality is not there. So to remove a role or feature from the Windows side-by-side folder, go into PowerShell, run the uninstall Windows feature, the feature name remove, and that will actually remove the feature from the side-by-side folder. You must do this from PowerShell. You can't do this from the server management interface. So if you do remove the roles and features, where can you get these back from? One of the questions I just got asked was, can you install these back? The answer was yes. Windows Update, if the server is an internet connection, so it can actually go off to Windows Update and pull these files back for you. You can use the WIM directly. You can mount the WIM. Or you can use another server's side-by-side directory, so you can actually point it to another server and tell it that this is a server to use and pull the files from there. You can also set this as a group policy, so you can actually set it up and say globally where you want your servers to pull their files from. So if you had all these servers that were running an extreme server core and you wanted to move them up or something, you can just point them to one place rather than going out to the internet or having to go somewhere else. So how do you mount the WIM? First of all, you create a folder to mount the WIM in. You've got to determine the index of the server using the GUI. Mount the WIM using the DSM command, and then that will allow you to go through the PowerShell and install the actual feature that you need. You can use the WIM directly. Again, go to DSM to find the index of the server, and then install the files that you need. So if you're trying to do this from within Server Manager to reinstall a file, what you get is that when you try and do this, it will come up and prompt you and tell you that it doesn't have the files to install, and it will tell you to specify an alternative path, and you can specify where your WIM is from there or to another server directory. And you can do it from PowerShell. So, as I was saying, if you have Server Core installed at the beginning, you do require a source to get it up from Server Core to up to minimal server interface or full GUI. So, last demo. Hopefully, this one goes better. So here I have. Server Core machine. I'm going to start PowerShell on. Warm up. I hope all you guys had a good day with the demos with other speakers. But okay, get dash Windows. So. So if I do a get -windows features, that'll bring up all the features that are available. And you can see here, this is a server core machine. None of the features are installed. And you can see it there, as it says, it's removed. So even no server graphical interface, no graphical management tools and infrastructure, all removed. So there's no, unless you actually give it an install place, it won't actually install them. So if I go back across to my server interface, manage, and that's the machine there. No smokes and mirrors. Go back to features, and then if I try and install, graphical management tools. So there it is. It says that you don't have the install files there. So what we can do, as I said, is specify the alternative path. Go into here. It's actually really good reading in here. It actually gives you information of where you can point it to for source files, and also what to do for your WIM source from your CD. So let's get that going. To click the right way. Okay. So that is now pulling the actual WIM files from this machine back to my server core machine and installing, taking that up to a full GUI. And we'll let that one churn away in the background, and fingers crossed it should be done by the time I get the slides finished. So the only feature that's not available with features on demand is .NET 3.5. It's not included in the Windows Server 2012 image. If you do install something that does require Windows .NET 3.5, there's an application compatible with Shim within the Server 2012, and it will prompt to install it. The actual source for that is not part of the install.wim. It's actually in the install media, but it's in a folder called sources.sxs, or it's available from Windows Update. So that's one thing to note, that if you are needing .NET 3.5, it doesn't come out of the box. You've got to go in to the install media sources SXS or the Windows Update to get that update. There's two interesting white papers on .NET 3.5 available on TechNet. The first one covers server. The second one covers client and server. Thank you very much.